I wish you to have no anxiety at all. These are St. Paul's words, and they feel more like a fanciful idea than some sort of reality. But I think we're all facing the same complexities that St. Paul seems to be fighting against, which is we're anxious and worried about many things, whether it be if we're in school, tests and exams, social interactions with people, friends, and all those kind of complexities. If we're at work, keeping our job, getting our work done, all these things that go with that. In our families, whether it be family members that cause problems or keeping the family together or issues amongst it. Maybe we even have financial concerns, which is where most people are at today, with concerns over the economy, the future of our country. There's just so many things that swirl in our world that cause anxieties. To say, even with the brevity of St. Paul, to have no anxiety seems like a laughable matter more than anything else. Well, how is that going to happen? Which is even more ironic, because after he says, have no anxieties at all, the rest of the whole passage is about people with anxieties. Whether it be married or unmarried, man or woman, everyone has anxieties. Yet in the midst of this, he brings something that's very important for us. Jesus wants to have us have no anxiety. He wants us to trust him with such a great level that we give over everything to him and trust him with everything. And if that were the case, then we would have no anxiety. We'd realize that everything's going to be okay and to trust him. I often think that when we think about trusting God, it's like we're holding a coin in our hand and we're like, here, God, I give you the coin, but never unclench our fist. We want to keep part of it to ourselves and never really fully give it over back to God. So what I want to encourage you today is to really wrestle with this idea of trust, truly trusting in God to limit our anxieties. Our first reading from the book of Deuteronomy gives us a very big picture of what the Israelites faced as they had these profound experiences of God and still did not trust him. They got to see him part the Red Sea. At one point in the midst of the book of Exodus, God calls all the Israelites together at the base of the mountain. And as Moses goes up, there's fire and lightning that surround the top of the mountain. Their response is, God's to be afraid of, let's run away. It wasn't let's trust him, it's let's run. Even as we go further, each and every event, even though they got these incredible experiences, led them to fear, not to trust, which is how we get to our reading for today. Here we have the Israelites having seen all these incredible events in the desert, these amazing things that God has done, with the hope that these people would finally trust him. Their response, we don't want to hear your voice. We want you to speak through prophets. And there's a very prominent reason why they do that. If we hear God's voice, we know he exists, and we know he can't be wrong. So we have to comply. But if it's a prophet, it could be right or wrong. We have to decide, which means we can ignore them for a while and not have to make any changes. So here we have the Israelites teaching us something very profound about ourselves. However much we may want to hear God's voice, however much we think that's such a good and profound experience, the reality is most of us don't actually want to hear his voice. We're too afraid. We're too worried about change. We're too concerned about having to actually give ourselves to God, to have to believe that he actually exists, to the point where we're like them. No, I'd rather not hear your voice. My life's pretty good. I'll just keep going with the way it is. Instead of trusting, believing in God's goodness, believing he has a plan for us, believing that giving things over leads to good things in our lives. It's quite a challenge. The same thing applies to today's gospel. So in today's gospel, we have one of those gospels where I'd always like to know more. There's like a missing part to which you bring in so much more of the gospel. For instance, here is Jesus on the Sabbath. He's in the synagogue and he teaches. We have no idea what he taught. None of the gospels tell us what he taught. Wouldn't it be nice to include the words that Jesus taught, his actual teaching? Man, I'd love to hear that. Why did the gospel writers not include it? Why did they only include the miracle at the end? Well, this is something we have to wrestle with. The challenge we face is whatever Jesus said was confirmed by the miracle. So he must have been teaching something that related to this possessed man being freed from a demon. The same token, it must have been so mundane, so common, whatever he said, that they didn't think it was necessary to include. We just know what it should have been, and we don't. Nevertheless, here we have Jesus doing something we often forget. He teaches, and he doesn't just teach. His words do things. I can stand up here and preach all I want, all day long, all these words bore you to death, and still nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to make any changes, radical changes. I'm just speaking words. Jesus, on the other hand, speaks words, and things are done. They happen. So let's extrapolate backwards and try and figure out what his words were about. So more than likely, he's talking about something to do with demons or something to do with being trapped by the world or something to do with God's providence. That's how it ends up being. So if he's talking about God's providence, he's probably talking about things like when the Messiah comes, he will free those bound by captivity, the guy who's a demoniac, or that God will provide for all people, giving them food and drink and making sure everything's fine. Or when God comes, he'll make sure everything's all right. You'll live freely once again. Why is it not a surprise? Because that was the prophecies of the Messiah. Of course he's going to preach that. That's what he does. And he shows it by releasing someone from captivity, which reminds us of how little we listen to Jesus' teaching. We like the idea he taught. We like the ideas he brings. But how often do we sit and really ponder Jesus' teachings? How often do we sit and let them cultivate in our lives, change us? Remember, Jesus' words are meant to bring us life. They're meant to bring us peace. They're meant to help us in the world around us. They have more power and authority than any other teacher in the world. And yet, how often do we truly listen? This is always a challenge. He wants to bring us new life. He wants to bring us joy. He wants to bring us peace. He wants to help us through all the challenges of the world when we're willing to listen. When we're willing to comply and believe that his words are good and do what they intend. In the same way, we also have another big challenge in today's readings that really help us understand this act of trust and letting go of anxieties. Many people I talk to today, especially when they get a little deeper into their faith, get super excited about demons. And like, stop, that's not very exciting. They're really not that exciting. And so they get wrapped up in it, either the exorcism films that are gory with people's heads turning around and stupid things like that, or this fear of the demonic presence that, oh no, what if I'm possessed? What does it take to be possessed? What do I do if I'm possessed? Calm down. It's going to be all right. This is part of the gospel we often forget. Jesus, naming the demon, says to him, well, nothing at first. The demon says, I know who you are, and cries out in this big, loud voice, I don't want to be exorcised. I don't want to leave. But nevertheless, Jesus doesn't really address the demon. He says to him, quiet, come out. This is very important for us. We deal with a lot of temptations and struggles and things in the world. We may get overwhelmed by this idea of demonic presence. It's not that big of a deal. Yes, they exist, but we spend too much time complying with them. When we listen and we obey them, or even spend the time and attention on them, they gain strength. Jesus didn't do that. He said the only words we ever need to know, quiet. Tell them to shut up. Literally, if you say in Jesus' name, be quiet, they can't do anything. It's really that simple. So with all those challenges we face in the world, all these things that cause anxieties, all we have to do is turn to God and say, make them shut up. It's really that simple. I know it sounds strange, but it works because we're wanting God, we're focusing on him, and we're asking him to help us with the challenges of the world. That's what Jesus did. Why can't we do the same thing? He wants us to, so don't be worried about those things. All the demonic stuff out there, all the temptations, have one purpose in mind, to distract us from God. If we focus on him, we'll be all right. So in light of this, I want to bring these things together for a couple reasons. I want you to realize that this idea of having no anxiety is actually possible. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like we should always be anxious and worried about all the things of the world. But that's not how we should live, and that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to hand over all these things, to surrender them to him, to give them over so he can take care of them, and we can walk through all the challenges of life without a concern. He wants all those challenges and temptations and demons in our world to be silenced, that we may recognize his power and know the good things he wants to bring. But we have to trust him. We have to believe in him. We have to be willing to hand these things over. And so this week, I encourage you to repeat this phrase throughout the week. It's a very simple little phrase. It comes from the novena of surrender, and it's one that can bring great merit and joy to your life. It's this. Oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. O Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything. O Jesus, I surrender myself to you, take care of everything.